Macmillan Audio presents Midnight on the Marne, written by Sarah Adlaka, narrated by Saskia Marleveld and John Perhala. Goodbyes are only for those who love with their eyes. Because for those who love with heart and soul, there is no such thing as separation. Rumi. Part 1. Prologue. Marcel. Soissons, France. May, 1991. The diary arrived on a Monday. It was old, the pages worn and the words faded. Even with her strongest reading glasses, Marcel couldn't pick out more than a phrase or two. English was a language she rarely read, though it was one of many she spoke. The package had come from America, bound in a roll of tape that had barely managed to hold it together, as it had traveled across the ocean to reach her. The author, a man Marcel hadn't seen in over 70 years, was dead, and while she had often thought they would meet again one day, life had other plans for them both. There were other treasures in the box, newspaper clippings, photos, letters. If she'd been 10 years younger, Marcel would have already pored over them. But 94 years had taken a toll on her eyes. And like everything else in her life, reading was something she couldn't do for herself. Instead, she waited patiently for 5 days, for Friday, for the day her daughter would arrive from Paris. Liliane had offered to read the diary to her, but this was not something Marcel wanted to share with her caregiver. Not an hour of Marcel's day passed without company. Daytime caregivers, nighttime nurses, doctors, therapists, dietitians. Gabrielle had secured only the best for his mother. The guilt he felt over his absence in her life softened only by the level of care he could provide for her. Juliette, on the other hand, didn't have the financial means to help with caregivers and specialists. When she had finally given up trying to move Marcel in with her, she had insisted they at least spend the weekends together. Marcel's only daughter divided her time between a Paris apartment during the week, where her days were spent with her daughter and her grandchildren, and Soissons during the weekends with her mother. It wasn't an easy commute, especially for a woman nearing 70, the 90-minute drive taking her over roads that were starting to resemble the speedways they had heard about in Germany. But Marcel had refused to abandon her home in Soissons. She wouldn't do that until it was time to join her husband and her sister and her parents in the cemetery behind the cathedral square. Bonjour, maman. Juliette leaned in and planted a kiss on Marcel's cheek before she sank down onto the sofa beside her. She was right on time, as usual.
What are you doing inside? It is such a lovely day. I expected to find you in the garden.
Marcel nodded toward the box on the table before them.
I got a package on Monday. I thought you could help me with it. My eyes, you know.
A package? Juliette pulled the box on the table closer, her eyes scanning over the shipping label.
America? Who do you know in America?
An old friend, Marcel replied, not sure how to explain to her daughter who George had been to her. Not even sure how to explain it to herself.
She had met him on only 2 occasions, but what he had done for her and what she had felt for him was nothing she could put into words.
A man friend?
Juliette pulled an aged photograph from inside the box before turning it over to read the inscription on the back.
George Mountcastle, she said. He was a very handsome soldier. I did not know you had an American boyfriend before Papa.
The tremor in Marcel's hands worsened as she took the photo from her daughter and squinted at the image. It was no use. The face staring back at her was as blurred as the one that had lived inside her memory for over 7 decades.
He was not a boyfriend.
Juliette rifled through the box, past the newspaper clippings and the letters and the keepsakes.
This one looks like a movie star, she said,
pulling out another photograph and reading from the back of it.
Philippe Foster. Was he a boyfriend, too? My goodness, Juliette.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?